Kopitar corrals it there. He'll saucer it left point. Forbort steps in and shoots and scores. Derek Forbort took the shot. The puck bounced off someone or something and then just inside of the near goalpost. If the goal stands, the Kings, with three unanswered, will have a 3-2 lead.
It would stand. They would lead 3-2 at that juncture. Flames would tie late and win it in overtime. But the Kings, with the pedal to the metal early in the second to the end of the contest, looked good last night. For more on that, we travel down the South Street Burger guest hotline to chat with our good buddy Jonathan Davis of SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Sir, live from L.A., you're back from your Vegas excursion. Did you get a chance to take this one in person, or was this via the boob tube, as they say?
This would be via the boob tube, yeah. I was still recovering from Vegas, Ryan.
Yeah, well, I know all about that. So why don't we start there? Because we'll get to the Kings, and I think it's a fascinating conversation. You brought it up a month ago, and I think a lot of people around here scoffed when you suggested there could be a different feel around the Kings post-Sutter. But first, tell me about the Vegas home opener. You were there, the first ever home game in franchise history that I don't know if you could have scripted it any better.
It was an unbelievable experience. And, you know, look, I was, you know, super excited to go just because it was the first ever game. But, you know, then with what took place, you know, a week or two prior with the shootings and how they were going to be able to balance the sensitivity of just a horrific event with a home opener. And they just did an unbelievable job, you know, from having the first responders come out and be introduced in conjunction with each player, and to project the names of all the 58 victims that were killed that night on the ice with you know, the words "Vegas Strong" across the ice. It was a very powerful evening, and then, you know, what an incredible start it was on the ice for the Golden Knights, and then after that great first period, you know, up 4-1, and then you've got the Cirque du Soleil show. I mean, I think it may have been the only time I can ever recall that nobody left their seats during the intermission.
Jeez. Yeah, it's usually a race. Get to get up there and beat that beer line. Or in Edmonton, you got to get up there to get to the sink first because, you know, they queue up when you have to go. So Vegas looks very good. They're 3-0. The night couldn't have gone better. They get three of their first five shots, beat Antti Raanta. He's aerated. See you later. It's very early. It's a tiny sample size. I'm glad they won their home opener for those fans, that city. But how good is this hockey team?
Well, Ryan, I mean, let's also remember, you know, look, two of their first three wins are against the Arizona Coyotes. So I think we need to temper things just a bit. You know, look, they've obviously, you know, you've got a guy like James Neal that gives you a chance. You know, you've got a dynamic scorer. So, you know, a guy that's been there before, you know, that's going to score 30, maybe has the potential to score 30 goals. My concern for them long-term is that, you know, can their top six match up with other people's top six for 82 games? I don't think so. Their bottom six should be fine. Their decor should be, you know, is very solid. And then you've got Marc-Andre Fleury in goal. So, you know, the bigger problem for them is just going to be scoring, you know, when they've got to play more of the elite teams around the NHL. But the league did the Golden Knights a favor by having them, you know, giving them Arizona at least for the home opener and giving them, you know, and then they've got, look, hey, Arizona's got a chance at coming out of this. They've got a 7-game homestand to kick off the year. If they can split the rest of their 6 games on the homestand and then go out on the road 6-3. Hey, what a great start that would be for the team.
What did you figure out when you were there? Because the roster they have that is winning isn't even their ideal roster. They'd like to have Shea Theodore up. They'd love to have Vadim Shipachev in the lineup. He's their big free agent signing out of Russia. Both are good enough to be there, but because of the logjam of defensemen on one-way deals that require waivers to hold all their assets, they've sent those guys on entry levels down. Any word on how they plan to alleviate that logjam on defense where they've got 10 defenders under contract on one ways?
Yeah, Ryan, that's definitely the big question that hovers over the team right now. And George McPhee, you know, kind of overplayed his hand. And, you know, look, GMs that felt that George kind of pilfered them, you know, to protect certain players are not going to do George any favors, this time around. You know, they know, look, teams know that George needs to unload some of these guys. So, you know, look, I would expect by the trade deadline, if not sooner, that someone gets moved. But, you know, the other argument that you can make is that, you know, hey, Shea Theodore is still young and, you know, it's a bad team. And so, you know, if he has to spend more time, you know, with the Chicago Wolves and the AHL, it's not the end of the world. But, yeah, you would like to see both those guys find themselves on this NHL roster. But, you know, George kind of has to be like Joe Sakic. He's going to have to maybe take 70 cents on the dollar instead of taking $1.25 on the dollar.
Sure, yeah. And I'll tell you what, it might be fine with Shea Theodore, who is a very good young prospect, but I don't know how well this is sitting with a guy who doesn't speak English, who's 30 years old and came over to be, the signing out of the KHL. That's probably the more pressing need. And too many bloody D. I don't know how many people are in love with the D they want to move, because you think they'll retain England and they certainly want to keep their younger skilled guys. That might be a tall task to sort that out. Let us move to the LA Kings. We go. You said it. I got all the texts coming in on the Glamorati fan feedback line. What's this guy talking about? Sutter won them two cups. You had alluded to the fact that there was a different air or mood around the Kings in the preseason, and that you felt perhaps a weight was lifted with the change at head coach, which many people took as an indictment of Daryl Sutter, but probably more accurate is just a reminder that coaches have shelf lives, right?
Well, sure, and you know, look, that, absolutely, and this team is, you know, it's what I said it would be a month ago, and I'm not trying to pat myself back. This was just something that you got from talking to players, no question about it. I mean, you know, look, Dustin Brown front and center. You know, we saw him score two goals last night. You know, he's played more minutes. He's played more minutes per game than he has since, you know, 2012, when he first came to the LA Kings. So, it's a much different team. Now, you know, look, I still think that, you know, they're going to be fighting tooth and nail to make the playoffs. But, when you watch this team play, the early returns are telling you that they have an opportunity to play meaningful games in March. And that was something that, people were hoping for. The only eyebrow that was raised last night from a Kings perspective, you know, when you go back to the winning goal, was, you know, why did John Stephens have Trevor Lewis and Shore out on the ice as opposed to Tanner Pearson and Tyler Toffoli? But there are a lot of things that are going right so far in the early going with the Kings. And, yeah, it's a much, you know, this is a team that last year I don't think could have come back from 2-1 down in the third. They just wouldn't have played like, you know, that type of game that would have allowed them to do it. But they're scoring the types of goals that I talked about with you before. You know, more traffic in front of the net, putting themselves in better scoring positions to score. It's definitely a breath of fresh air, and the guys are really enjoying it so far.
We're chatting with Jonathan Davis of NHL Network Radio. He, the two-man advantage Sunday nights. Give a little plug for your program. I might be butchering things here. I think I'm trying to do my best here.
You're doing a good job, Ryan. Sunday nights follow the last game that's played. So it's the post-game show on NHL Network Radio Sunday nights. This coming Sunday, I follow the Kings and Islander game. So that'll be roughly, you know, around 10:30 out in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, bedtime. That's what we call that here for guys that wake up at 3:45. Two guys I was really impressed with, and two names I hadn't heard of before the beginning of the year, Oscar Fantenberg and Alex Iafallo. Boy, big roles early on for the Kings. Are these mirages, or is this legit, the kind of production we're seeing from the two newcomers?
Well, let's start with Fantenberg, and this is someone that, the Kings executives had told me, you know, during training camp, watch out for this guy. They were very high on him, a 25-year-old who played in Sweden, and I think he also had a cup of coffee in the KHL as well. Never played in the NHL, but, you know, look, We're seeing him right now playing more third pairing. We saw during training camp, this is a guy that spent some time with Drew Doughty. They really like his upside. In the case of Iafallo, Minnesota Duluth. He was 12th in scoring last year in the NCAA. What you see is that this is a guy that the puck just seems to find him. And, you know, while he just has the one assist in the first three games, he looks very comfortable alongside Anze Kopitar and Dustin Brown. And both guys have shared with me that they really enjoy playing with this kid. He's just a smart, hard-nosed hockey player. And they think there's a lot of upside there.
Well, and to the captain we go. I had made a bit of a scene yesterday suggesting that Anze Kopitar, while still very good, was not in his prime anymore. I suppose after watching him score just 12 goals in a full season last year and not reaching 22 in the last three, I had my reasons. But are we seeing vintage Anze Kopitar this year, or is it just three games?
Well, I think, you know... Maybe it's somewhere in between. I don't think the guy was done. I think that, you know, what you saw last year was one, again, you know, another guy who, hey, he was playing with Trevor Lewis and Dwight King last year, you know, and Dwight King's in the KHL and Trevor Lewis is, you know, where he should be on the fourth line in Los Angeles. So, you know, that didn't help. It was the adjustment of being a captain last year. And that was a big adjustment for Anze Kopitar. And again, it was another, you know, look, that locker room was just not a great place last year. And partly because of, you know, what Darryl had done to that room. This year he's playing alongside, you know, Iafallo and Brown. He's got two guys that, you know, again, a rejuvenated Dustin Brown, but you know, Anze's got a lot of pride and he knows it was an awful year. There's no question that, you know, we're seeing more of a shoot first mentality that we haven't seen for quite some time for Kopitar. So, you know, I think that last year was more of an aberration, and it wasn't a year of a guy who has been discussed before as, you know, one of the better, if 200-foot players in the game. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Man, it would have been a good night to be on a couch in Los Angeles or greater L.A. You got the Ducks staggered a half hour earlier. One goes to intermission, the other gets going. That would have been a good night of hockey watching, no?
Oh, it was a great night of hockey watching. Going, you know, I had you know, Kings on one on the TV, and I had the Ducks on the iPad there, and, you know, just kind of sitting back and watching both. And it was a great, you know, it was a good night of hockey in SoCal. We're seeing more and more of the Ducks and Kings on the same night, and that's not usual out here. But Anaheim, you know, there's a team right now that is, you know, kind of where I thought they'd be at, treading water right now. They've earned 5 out of 8 points so far in the early going, and considering how banged up they are, and they got another, you know, they got Patrick Eves back last night, scored a goal. But they're just trying to hang on right now, and they, you know, I thought against Calgary they had a, you know, a decent game. You know, despite the fact that they had 43 shots in that game, I don't really think that they didn't have a lot of good second chances in that game. I don't think they made it tough enough for Mike Smith. But you know, they're, again, if they can stay, you know, hover around a playoff spot, you know, for the first 2 months of the season, I'd watch out for them in the second half.
I'm with you 100%. If they can just be 500 by the time Christmas rolls around, anything better than that's gravy. They do what they always do. They'll get on a tear in the second half when they're healthy and make some additions to the deadline. And yeah, there's the team that's won 5 Pacific Division titles in a row. Final one for you. You've seen the Flames in both of the barns in your fair city. What do you make of Calgary from the eyeballs of a man who watches the Ducks and Kings essentially for a living?
You know, they're the team that there's no one on that team for me that you go, wow. Like, they're just a solid team. And a lot of good players. You know, look, I love watching Johnny Hockey. I love, you know, a great decor. And Mike Smith definitely changes the mindset. You know, I heard you guys talking with Derek Wills earlier in the show. And I totally agree with the fact that what a comfort level it is to have a guy that you know that can make that save. And so I think that changes a lot for Calgary. And as Glenn Gullickson's alluded to, you know, we may need to tighten things up a little bit defensively. But they're a team to me that, you know, definitely a playoff team. But I don't know, Ryan, for me, like, there's no guy that necessarily brings you out of their seats, but they're just a really solid and well-balanced team, I think, you know, 1 through 20 on the roster.
All right, get hydrated, get caught up on sleep. Glad you had fun in Vegas. Cool to be there for the first ever game in Knights history, and we will catch up with you when we see the Flames perhaps pass through California their next time through. I'm looking at the calendar. We're probably talking, like January. Wow.
Don't be a stranger. We'll talk sooner.
All right, brother. Good stuff.
All right, man. Take care. Always a pleasure.
There's Jonathan Davis, NHL Network Radio, the Two-Man Advantage, Sunday nights.